In the name of our one God who reconciles us to one another. Amen. In the moments and movements of our liturgical year, as most of you will remember, we begin in Advent. There's Christmas, we move through Epiphany, Lent, and so on, eventually starting anew every late November or early December, depending on how the year falls. This is the cycle of our liturgical year. This past year, though, has taken on or added another kind of cycle. At least I've felt this to be true. It's in those liturgical seasons and significant holy days that have been celebrated virtually, without people here. So, first it was Holy Week, then Easter, unimaginably at the time, then Pentecost. You get the idea. And now here we are, gathered together virtually on Ash Wednesday. And the cycle is completed, the first year cycle. Ash Wednesday is the last of these liturgies for special days that will be celebrated for the first time in the pandemic. As we have come to know well throughout this past year, these liturgies are so familiar, yet distinctly different in certain ways. Different from those that were celebrated in person. So last year's Easter, for example, had most of the liturgical elements that it always does, but no brass, nor the big candy bowl in the back of the nave. That's not part of the rubrics of the prayer book. Pentecost on paper, and really like the Pentecost leaflet, it looked much the same. Though there was no blessedly chaotic gospel reading in over a half dozen different languages. And today we have Ash Wednesday, but without the imposition of ashes, or at least as we have come to know them. Some of you do have ashes. You've picked them up here, or you've picked them up for others, and you'll be imposing them on yourself or others at home. Some of us will go without the imposition altogether and just simply tracing an invisible cross upon our foreheads. Interestingly enough, at least to me, in the Book of Common Prayer, the imposition of ashes is the optional part of the service. As deeply meaningful as it is to me, and it is deeply meaningful, the prayer book itself doesn't require ashes to be part of the service at all. I confess, though, and it is a season for confession, I confess that I will miss it this year. I will. If there are ashes, though, then the prayer book gives us this prayer of blessing, one which some of you will be saying or already have said at home, in preparation for your own imposing of them. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, that we may remember that it is only by your gracious gift that we are given everlasting life. The ashes are signs, as the prayer book prayer says. The ashes are signs of our mortality and signs of our penitence. Whether or not you are imposing ashes today, I would ask you a favor, perhaps, that we take some time, that you take some time today and take some time throughout Lent to reflect, to reflect on what might be other signs of our mortality and our penitence, knowing that ashes are but one. Mortality. This day and throughout Lent, we are offered the gift of reflecting on and accepting our humanity, our impermanence, the fragility of life, something that most of us do not do easily or willingly. We offer this to our loving God. We offer this seeking peace, seeking a sense of purpose in the midst of whatever fear, grief, uncertainty our mortality may hold for us, while also renewing our hope of resurrection. Both things can be true at the same time. What might be a symbol for you of your mortality? It could be anything. It could be a very personal memento of some sort. A family picture, maybe. Could be the latest COVID-19 statistics. A fallen leaf. The compost pile in your backyard. Whatever it might be, it'll be different things for different people. That symbol or those symbols could help you to really reflect on our mortality. And within that, because this is one part of it, within this, to renew our active, our lived belief that at the end of all things, and right now, right here, we are alive in God. So we may lament and celebrate. Both things can be true at the same time. We may lament and at the same time celebrate with gratitude, celebrate the abundance of God's life within us and around us. Then there's penitence. Repentance for sin. Sin being understood, I think, best as those ways in which we walk apart from God's will, those ways in which we walk apart from God's good purposes for us. While at the same time accepting God's gift of change, of turning our hearts and minds more fully toward God, of opening ourselves to being transformed evermore into the likeness of Jesus. The ashes of this day symbolize the need for repentance. They symbolize the grief that rightly occurs when we know that we have fallen short. And they symbolize the truth that this does not need to be the last or the final word about us. What also might be other signs of this? Penitence for our individual sins could be represented by so many symbols, unique to each one of us and our own situations. Perhaps something from a relationship that needs healing, or a harm caused by something we have done or left undone. Maybe it's a memory that we hold, that we write down, we keep with us to pray over. And there are communal sins, not just individual ones. When I lament ways that we as a people have departed from God's intentions for us, there are certain images I hold, certain images I cannot forget, nor should I, some of which come from just this past year. I think of the one of a Confederate flag being proudly waved in the Capitol Rotunda last month. That is an image for me that calls for repentance. That one could proudly wave a Confederate flag in the Capitol Rotunda is one of the direct fruits of 400 years of acquittals. Many acquittals, all by white people, for white people, which can allow then for a Confederate flag in 2020 to be flown in the nation's capital. There's video footage also that sticks out in my mind that calls for repentance. Another direct fruit of year after year of acquittals. It's from a year ago when two white men in Georgia hunted down and then executed a black man, Ahmaud Arbery, as he went for a jog. These, for me, are images, like ashes, that call for my and our repentance. And these symbols, these ashes, or images, or keepsakes, or pictures, whatever they might be for each one of us, also are signs of liberation. They're signs of repentance, of penitence, of those ways that we walk apart from God's will and good purposes for us, and at the same time are signs of our liberation. As we accept reality and open ourselves to change, actively turning toward God, these symbols then, these signs also are a reminder of God's mercy. God's infinite mercy, of God's outstretched arms, always, everywhere, longing to embrace us anew. As we dwell on these symbols, these signs which represent our mortality and our penitence, and the truths behind them, that we make space this Lent. That we make spaceless Lent for God's healing work to continue to happen in us and through us. God's abundance and life-giving love. God's liberation and mercy. And sisters and brothers, as we do this in the many ways and forms that it might take, we move closer to the heart of God. As we do this, we move closer to the dream of God, that we be reconciled, we to God, and one to another. Amen.